It's our intention as a session to begin the year 2020 with our sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Next Lord's Day at the morning service, we're due to have our communion service and then our Thanksgiving service in the evening. And so this today is our pre-communion service. And as we turn our thoughts to remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the theme that I've chosen for this particular communion season is a very simple one. I want us to think about the three crosses. In the all-wise planning of Almighty God, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was not crucified alone. His cross was not the only cross. There were three crosses at Golgotha, or as it's also called, Calvary. And that was all very deliberate on the part of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, we're told that Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the middle, on the middle cross of three crosses. And my hope is that next Lord's Day in the morning at our communion service, we will consider the Lord Jesus and his cross. Jesus in the center. Today I want to speak about one of the men who was crucified with him, and then at our Thanksgiving service to speak about the other man who was crucified with him. Today I want to focus on the rebel who never repented. The rebel who never repented. One of the men who was crucified with Jesus kept on going his own way right to the end. This man, first of all, I want to say that he was a rebel in life. What kind of men were they who were crucified with the Lord Jesus? Well, in Mark 15, verse 27, which we read, it says that with him they also crucified two robbers. We're told the same thing in Matthew 27, verse 38. But in Luke's account of the death of the Lord Jesus, it's a different word that is used. They're not described as robbers, but Luke 23, verse 32, it says, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. So the two men who were crucified alongside our Lord Jesus, they were robbers, they were criminals. But the fact that these men were being put to death by the Roman authorities, by crucifixion, that meant that these men weren't just minor offenders. They weren't just petty criminals or nuisance thieves. They weren't just men who had the habit of getting caught for a string of minor offenses. These were men whose crimes were very serious indeed. They were men who were guilty of rebelling against the ruling authorities. They were guilty of high treason. They were rebels. And it may well have been the case that they were among the accomplices of the rebellion leader, Barabbas. Mark 15, verse 7 says about the prisoners being held at that time that there was one named Barabbas who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. And it seems to me to be the case that if Jesus had not been crucified by popular demand, and Barabbas, the leader of the rebellion, released, then it would have been Barabbas that would have been on the middle cross with his accomplices on either side. Men who had risen up in a murderous rebellion were being put to death. And so the two men who were crucified alongside the Lord Jesus, they were criminals, they were robbers, they were most likely murderers and rebels. And there was no miscarriage of justice where these men were concerned. One of them himself, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 41, one of them said, "We receive the due reward of our deeds." And he acknowledged that he was getting what he deserved. We've read in the great prophecy of Isaiah regarding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kind of company that Christ would have in his death. Isaiah 53, verse 12, it says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And here in Mark 14, verse 28, after telling us about him being crucified with the two robbers, one on each side, it says, "So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors." So it was. These two men who were crucified alongside the Lord Jesus Christ were notoriously evil rebels. They had lived their lives as men who were a law unto themselves. They were men who didn't care about the laws of the land. They were men who didn't care about the laws of God. They were self-seeking rebels against all authority. These men couldn't have been much more different from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was in the center, and these were the kind of men who were on either side of him. And what was happening here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is being portrayed as being one of them. Jesus is being shown up as being another of the same. In his death, he is being portrayed as being someone who is a truly awful sinner and criminal. So the men crucified on both sides of Jesus, they were both rebels in life. And the rebel who never repented was a rebel in life. But the second thing about this man I want you to think about is that he was also a rebel in death. The law had caught up with these men. The time had come for them to receive the consequences of their crimes. They had been tried, they had been found guilty, they had been sentenced to death. And although Barabbas, their leader and ringleader, had been released, there was no release for these men. And isn't that often the case? The one who is the most guilty of all gets off, but it's others who have to pay the price. And these men were sentenced to death by crucifixion. But unlike others who had previously experienced that kind of death, these men didn't have to die alone. They had in their death the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what better company could any sinner have in their death than the Son of God, the Savior? Now, how these two guilty, murdering rebels behaved towards Jesus is recorded in much the same way in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. Mark 15, from verses 29 to 32, where we're told about what they did and said. And you have the same thing in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, at verse 39 and verse 44, it says there, "And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing." And that was how these two men treated the Lord Jesus Christ at first. But Luke's gospel account tells us how one of those rebels then had a change of heart. Luke 23, at verse 39 and 40, it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation?'" But this man who was speaking evil of the Lord Jesus, he had no change of heart. He was in the last hours of his life, and there was the very Son of God beside him, and he had no change of heart. He had no fear of God. The other man asked him, "Do you not even fear God?" Well, no, he didn't. This was a man, and the practice of his life was to have no time for God. God had no place in this man's life, and he had no fear of God. And now in the last hours of his life, here he is beside the very Son of God. And he sees how the Lord Jesus conducts himself. He sees that this man is like no other man he has ever encountered. And yet, doesn't make any difference to him. He doesn't see that Jesus has any value to him. This is a man who's not interested in a Savior. He doesn't want a Savior. The only help that Jesus could have been to him was to get him down off the cross so that he could keep on in his life of rebellion and in his life of sin. If Jesus wasn't going to come down from the cross and release him from the cross, well then, Jesus was no use to him at all. And so this man, who had been a rebel in life, he is still a rebel in his death. And his last recorded words are words of blasphemy against the Son of God. He was a rebel in life, and he continued to be a rebel in death. And God has chosen that that's the way it was at the death of the Lord Jesus. And the third thing that I want you to think about is that in this man we have a picture of ourselves. The Lord Jesus was not allowed to die in peace. He had to die listening to the taunts, the blasphemies, the reviling of those who were there to watch all that was going on. He had to listen to the words, the cruel words of those who passed by, and threw their insults at our Lord. And he even had to deal with the cruel words of the men who were crucified with him. And apart from all of this being a necessary part of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, these things are also happening to provide us with a picture of ourselves. And what we see in this rebel who never repented, this is a picture of what we are, but for the grace of God. What do we see when we examine ourselves? What do we see when we look into our own hearts and when we look into our own history? Well, if we're seeing correctly, we will see that we too have been rebels against Almighty God. If we're honest with ourselves, could any of us say that we throughout our lives have been careful to keep the commands of God? Can we say that we have lived as those who have not desired our own will, but that we have desired the will of God? Could we claim that we have been people who have loved the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength? Could we claim that we have learned from the things in which we have gone wrong, so that we have not repeated those sins again? Surely, if we are honest with ourselves, we would have to say that Isaiah was right when he wrote in chapter 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Sometimes we stand here in church and we sing, "Show me your ways, O Lord, your paths, O teach to me." But we've often not chosen those ways, and we've not chosen those paths that God has shown us. But Isaiah says, we have turned everyone to his own way. There's God's way, and there's our way. And we have turned everyone to his own way. God's word shows us our hearts. God's word shows us that we too are rebels. We too are transgressors. We don't measure up to what God expects and what God requires of his children. And so let us use this man to remind ourselves of what we are truly like. Let us think about ourselves and what we would be but for the grace of God. This is why we need to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from the grace of God to us in Christ, we would live and we would die just the way this unrepentant rebel died who was crucified with Jesus. And that cross there beside the Lord Jesus was there to show you yourself. What does God want you to see in this man, the rebel who wouldn't repent? Do you see this man dying upon his cross and still adamantly rebelling against the Lord? He is a man utterly determined that he will hold on to his sin, that he will be himself and he will do his thing right to the end. And here he is, and he is rejecting the only Savior there is in all the world and in all of time. And God shows it to us there at Calvary. And you see, if you're not a Christian, God is holding up a mirror to you. God says, have a look at yourself. He says, this is what I see in you. God wants you to see this man and think about him and think about what course you are on in life. Now, you may not be guilty of the sins that this man was guilty of. But God sees you as a rebel who continues to choose your way rather than God's way. Now, sometimes throughout the scriptures, we find characters and the prospect of death really makes them think seriously, and they turn and seek the Lord. But more often, that's not the case. More often, we find in the scriptures that people are so accustomed to choosing their own way that when the time comes for them to die, that's all they can do. They have no heart for anything other than choosing their own way. They have hardened their heart so many times against the Lord and against the gospel. So many times they've heard the voice of God, and now they have a heart of stone. And they'll just keep on going their own way. Here was a man crucified alongside the Son of God, and he continued to be a rebel right to the end. And you see, that's the choice we would all make. That's the way we would all go, but for the grace of God. So let us think about this man who was crucified beside our Lord Jesus Christ. This man shows us the cross that we need to be saved from. And only by the grace of God will any of us avoid the end that was the end of this man. This man was a rebel, and he is a warning to the unsaved. The imminent approach of death does not mean that you will start to take the things of God seriously. This man didn't. And so we need to take Christ seriously today and not think, I'll do it when things are more serious. And for those of us who know ourselves to have been saved, well, we should be thankful for that grace which God has extended to us. Jesus teaches in John 6:44 that it wasn't our own wise initiative taking that led to us being saved. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." If you're a follower of Christ, why was it that you began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Why was it that you began to take him seriously and became a true disciple of Jesus? Well, it was because God in his grace drew you to the Lord Jesus. God drew you to Christ like you'd never been drawn to Christ before. It was Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He went in search of you. And you should be thankful for that. As we look at ourselves and understand that apart from the grace of God, we too were rebels. We too were going astray. We too were deliberately turning to our own way. Well, let us be thankful that God in his grace has brought us to repentance. And for all those who are repentant rebels, the Word of God gives us the assurance that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were the ones that were going astray. We were the ones that were choosing our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The rebel who never repented, the rebel who refused to repent, The rebel who had no heart for the things of God, even when the Son of God was there beside him on the cross. Let us remember this man. And if we know that our end is different from the end of this man, well, let us be thankful for the grace of God to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.